This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 7th, 2020. Trinity Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the world. The words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those words about the majesty of God's name found in Psalm number 8. First verse, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the world. The English versions have different adjectives for that. Majestic, admirable, excellent, wonderful. They all apply. They are all appropriate. When we think of God's name, that's one of those words we use so often. You think, what is a name? What is it? Well, that's what you call somebody. Well, it's also how you understand them. Dictionary definition of name is a word or set of words by which a person is known, not just what you call them, particularly in the context of God. His name is how we know him. If he wants us to know him, he would let us know his name. He's been very elusive when people want to know his name. Moses at the burning bush. Who should I say sent me? I am that I am. That's kind of vague, God. Throw a name out at him, all right? No, I am who I am. Our Lord Jesus Christ lets us know who he is. When he sends us out on the Great Commission, he says, go therefore to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Not the names, plural, of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the name, singular, of the Father. Well, that's grammatically incorrect, Jesus. Yeah, it's grammatically incorrect, but it is how we should know God. He is one and three, three and one. This is not a concept to be bandied back and forth among theologians. It is something of the utmost importance. And when I say utmost importance, I mean salvation deal breaker is to how we understand God. Because he will not be understood or known by a subjective knowledge, who you think he is. Well, Jesus doesn't care really, because he loves everybody. Oh, he obviously does care. Who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, some say one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? It's important for our Lord to make sure that they know who he is, not conjecture. Conjecture's not good enough. Conjecture's not good enough in knowing God. And he has let us know who he is. It's interesting, though, how he's done it. He has given us this name that we have come to call the Trinity. The majesty that the psalmist speaks about, he's trying to set the stage for us that you're never going to get it. You're never going to understand who he is. You can't just tack a word and say, God. It doesn't mean the depths. It doesn't have the profound nature of knowing him, not by a word, but by who he truly is by nature. This is a glorious grace that our Father has given us, is to understand who, because not everyone does. Most don't. But it is tremendously important. Like I said, it is De Fide. It is one of those things that you need to believe. It is just not something to be conjecturally discussed among people who want to discuss things like this. This is the way you must approach God. when our Lord says, in the name, singular, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he's showing us the infinite perfections and goodness of God. Infinite perfections and goodnesses cannot be known by a word. It's got to be knowing who he is by his nature. And as I said before, we should be on our faces before Almighty God that we have had our minds open to the... I've never really thought about it. I'm a Catholic, so I know all the Trinity stuff. You should understand it. It's good that you do, and that's good enough that you embrace it in faith. We should really ever, because our faith is immersed in it. If there's anything, it is the foundation of our faith. It is the Christianity deal breaker. The Trinitarian God versus this monotheistic God. Monotheistic, I mean, we're monotheists. We believe in one God, but we believe in him in three persons. Other monotheistic religions deny the Trinity. Okay? It is important. The Roman Catechism tells us that God has made known to the human mind the mystery of the Trinity. You read that sentence, and it sounds kind of weird. He's made known to the human mind, known, a mystery. Well, did he make it known? It's that profound nature of what we're talking about here. Why do we believe this and the other monotheistic religions don't? This is a question to be answered. It is something to be considered. God has made known to the human mind the mystery of the Trinity, if the human mind will embrace it in faith, because it's got to be embraced in faith because you can't get it. We're not supposed to get it. That's the whole idea. Well, it couldn't be that big a deal. We look at it as something so common that we don't look at it as a big deal, but it's the deal breaker as a heaven and hell. Because why is this? There's whys to it. It's not just, well, that's the way they believe and that's the way they believe. There are reasons behind it. First and foremost, particularly taking the gospel passage, John 3. Everybody loves John 3 because they like to use it that, oh, everybody, God loves everybody, and he's just, it doesn't say that. It says that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. Not everybody, he who believes in him. That's what it says. But he goes on to say that, and everybody loves to stop at that verse when he says, he's not come into the condemn the world, but that the world may be saved by him. Okay, let's leave it at that, because that sounds really good. And then he goes on to say, he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What does that got to do with the Trinity discussion? He's the second person of the Trinity. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. The Trinity is the foundation of our faith, because without the knowledge of this truth, we cannot understand redemption in Christ. Because it was necessary for God to redeem us. It was necessary that he was incarnate to redeem us, the second person of the Trinity. So this is why you must embrace it. This is why it is de fide. Because if I don't believe in the Trinity, but I believe Jesus died for my sins. If you don't believe in the Trinity, he's not the second person of that Trinity. And so what if he died for your sins if he's not God? A lot of people have died for noble causes. We call them martyrs, but they are not our Savior. He is. He's our Savior because he's the God-man, Theanthropos. And if you don't understand the Trinity, I don't say understand it cognitively, if you don't embrace it in faith, you cannot embrace salvation in Jesus Christ in faith. It is impossible. Our church teaches us explicitly that this is de fide, as I am wont to do every Trinity Sunday. And it's particularly for the benefit of people who haven't been around here since last Trinity Sunday, or relatively new, or visiting, is I provide copies of the Athanasian Creed in the back. Athanasian Creed, what's that? Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, it's the Athanasian Creed. It's a creed of Holy Church. Just like the other ones are. It's what the church believes. And it speaks of primarily two things. The Trinity and the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those two things that I've talked about yet thus far today, how important the Trinity is and how important the divinity of Jesus Christ is. How if you don't embrace the Trinity, you can't embrace salvation in Christ. So the Athanasian Creed, I'm only going to read part of it. It's lengthy. It's longer than the Nicene Creed by much. Whosoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity. He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved. Why don't you hear that one read in church? Because it kind of flies in the face of the message in a lot of places now. Okay? This is an authoritative statement of the Roman Catholic Church. Always will be, has been. This is what your church believes. This is what we must believe, Catholic, for our salvation. That's what the church teaches us, what the Holy Spirit has communicated to the church. It's kind of interesting to me that there's actually a prohibition of switching the Nicene Creed to the Athanasian Creed. If you want to shorten Mass, you can switch from the Nicene Creed to the Apostles' Creed. You're not allowed to switch to the Athanasian Creed. Okay? We've got places, and this happened within the past year and a half, where a church, contrary to church law, did not recite the Nicene Creed because they had an imam speak during Mass, and it was considered offensive to him. Well, of course it's going to be offensive to him. Man, he'd probably have a stroke if you read the Athanasian Creed to him. This is our faith. Our creeds, every one of them, speak of the Trinity and the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every sacrament that we receive, all of those objective, outward and visible signs of invisible graces, every single one of them. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I anoint you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I absolve you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Every one of our sacraments is grounded in the Trinity. All the consecrations and blessings that we do, every single one of them, must contain the Trinitarian formula to make it efficacious. This is how important it is. And here we have a feast day to the Trinity. But it's truly unfortunate that the church has lost a zeal for some of the truths that she has always held. This is problematic. This is why we see what we see around us. Because when you start lightening up on things, you get slothful in any presentation. That applies to temporal work. How would you like to live in a house, for instance, where the construction guys were like, hey, you're an inch off on that. It's an inch. It's a big deal. Just an inch. Put some spackling compound in there or something like that. You know? That's shoddy workmanship. But if it's consistent, that 1 inch, and then there's another 1 inch, and then there's another one. Also, all of a sudden we're talking about feet. All of a sudden we're talking about buildings falling down. If you do shoddy work, and it starts with lightening up on things, not taking them so darn serious. I just read from a creed of Holy Church that says, this is about your salvation. It's shoddy work if we look at it, most of them have, they don't even hear it anymore. So how do they know that? Just because we don't know something, again, construction, just because he doesn't read the instructions doesn't give him license to do whatever he wants to do. We're talking about our eternal salvation. And if we don't approach it properly, with precision, because Jesus does care, as I said before, what we think. What do you think? Who do you say that I am? It's that important. Every time we come to Mass, again, you talk about the immersion in the Trinity. That's how Mass starts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, I will go into the altar of God. That's how it starts. After that first song, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. The Creed, the glory of in excelsis, the Mass ends. And it is replete throughout the Mass. Those parts you hear and those parts that you don't, the Trinitarian formula is given throughout the Mass. And how does it end? Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, in nomine Patris et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus. It begins and ends that way. Everything is about it. It's that important. That we hear it so much, we are so immersed in it, we don't get it. It's like a fish getting that he's in water. So he's been here. But without water, what happens? He dies. We're a lot more smart than a fish. Sometimes. Okay, should be. This is where we are. This is our life's breath. The Trinitarian God. He's the God who created all things. And guess what? When he created it, God the Father spoke through the Son. Everything was created. And the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters and brought order. This is who he is. This is how we're supposed to know him. And if you don't embrace this, you don't know him. So when you hear your friends say, they pray to the same God you do, just in this context, that's a bold alpha. It's a stupid thing to say. We pray to God the Trinity. They don't. It is objectively, by definition, not the same thing. How can we come in here and hear what we do and lose sight of that? And you know, I can't emphasize enough how this isn't a matter of, hey, I'm so glad that I know that and they don't. No. We should be on our face before Almighty God because the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes and our hearts to embrace this truth because of the source. Not because we understand it, because we can't. We just embrace it because of who he is and what he has done. This is why it doesn't sound ridiculous to us, because the world, that's nonsense. One and three and three, which one is it? Because that's just mathematics. Well, one times one is what? One. Yeah. So it's just not even mathematics. We've got to appreciate this. Because, like I say, it's a foundation of our faith. So, yep, it's a big deal. The church teaches it authoritatively, and it is de fide. It is of the faith. Again, our Lord says, who do you say that I am? You know, the one to whom you pray, I pray God. Do you understand that he's different than that whatever God to whom everyone else prays? In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.